All right, well, good morning. Yeah. I want you to grab your copy of God's Word and turn with me to Psalm 105. The psalm that we started the church service with was a reading from Psalm 105, but our focus is going to be the next two verses, verses 4 through 5 this morning. But I'd like for us to read from verse 1. All the way to the end of the first section of Psalm 105, all the way to verse 6. So I think, you know, I've had longer passages than that for us to read, okay? So I will read this to you. You can follow along in your Bible. You can follow along on the screen. Or you can just listen and hear the word of the Lord read to you. Amen? Hear now the word of the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he uttered. O offspring of Abraham, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, may you bless the time that we have had this morning. May it already be blessed by the singing of such truth that there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from the veins of Jesus Christ. May you bless the time that we had in Sunday school where many of us considered the Lord's Supper, that which we do in remembrance. May it be a blessing already as we pray together as a body. We consider all the wondrous works that you have done. And now, may you bless the preaching of the word this morning as we consider the call for the people of God to seek after you and remember what you have done for us. And may this sermon be like an appetizer preparing us for the Lord's Supper. And in Christ's name we say, amen. All right, to those of us who are married, how many of you remember the seeking out of your wife's hand in marriage? Or was it the other way around? You were just so you're clueless to what was happening until she had to help you. Amen. How many of us remember the pursuits we had to go through to get the career that we, maybe some of us retired from, or the career that we currently have? You know, there are particular books on my shelf that I look at, and it brings me right back to the class where I had to buy it. And I've not opened it since taking that class. You remember how badly you wanted to be part of the football team or the soccer team or any sports, and you had to seek after it, where there's many people gunning for that position. Your life was all about making it onto that team, and then you did it. So many people live off of such memories that their remembrance of it never gets old. And it is a surefire way to reignite joy in their life, going back to, remember that play I did back in high school that made us win the championship? Like, that was 30 years ago. Everyone was talking about it. We are wired to be people that seek after things, to pursue things, and we are also wired to be people that want to remember things. If we weren't, there would be no museums, warehouses of remembering. There would be no accomplishments, good or bad, if we were not naturally seeking out to accomplish things. The question is what it is that we are seeking, and what is it that we are remembering? And today, I want us to consider that as children of God, Christians are to be people that seek the Lord, and Christians are to also be people that remember the Lord's wondrous works. The psalmist starts off the psalm in a very commanding way, right? We see this a lot in the Psalms. Give thanks to the Lord. Okay, I'll do that. Give thanks to the Lord. Not only are we called to call on his name, but we are to make known his deeds. Skip a line where we are called to sing, and you will find the psalmist exhorting us to tell of all his wondrous works. We are to glory in his holy name, and in the knowledge of who God is, let us praise him. Then it says that those who seek the Lord rejoice, which connects to seeking, and then it goes into remembrance. And then in verse 6, we find a clue regarding who the psalmist is writing to, the offspring of Abraham, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. So in short, the writer of the psalm is telling God's people to give thanks, make known his deeds, sing praises to him, glory in his name, seek the Lord, remember his works. And that is then what leads to the psalmist retelling the wonderful works of the Lord, which I encourage you to read sometime. And now I'm about to say something that perhaps you've never thought about. You might be automatically there, or maybe you're thinking about it already. You might be new to this. And you might be going, this is great for the children of Abraham, for the children of Jacob. How do we get it to where it's for us to think about? What does this have anything to do with our life? Very basically, I would like to make this point from the beginning so that you know that this is applying to you as well, Christian. You don't tune this out, what I'm about to say. While you may very well not be an Israelite, you have done your ancestry.com and you cannot trace your bloodline down to Israel. You are spiritually part of what all of that was a type and shadow of. Galatians 3 is very helpful to consider here. We have Galatians 3:7 that reads, know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham, kind of important to keep in mind. 3:9, so then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Also important to consider. And it's also at the end of Galatians 3 that we read these powerful words that many memorize, and they're helpful for us. Galatians 3:28 through 29. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. If you are in Christ, you have faith and believe that he is your Lord and Savior, then you are truly Abraham's offspring. As such, let us consider these two verses this morning the way the Lord wants us to, as adopted brothers and sisters, children of God. The psalmist exhorts, he calls for the children of God, us, to seek him. Seek the Lord. It is to be a pursuit of the Christian to pursue the Lord. We ought to be people that no matter what is thrown our way, we consistently again and again say to ourselves or others that I need to seek the Lord on this matter. That's one application of that. That is a callback to last week's verses as well. Seeking the Lord is a blessed pursuit. And we seek him often with specificity. We're looking for specific things of the Lord. Like the psalmist when he says, seek the Lord and his strength. We benefit every moment of our lives from the strength of the Lord. Amen? Our Lord's strength was and is on full display in all creation. No one but God can create out of nothing via speech. He says, let there be light, and the universe submits to the power of God, and there is light. The strength of the Lord was on display when he sent the 10 plagues to Egypt. Each one showing the power of God. Each one showing the Egyptians that their false gods were no match to the strength of the Lord. Like, you have a God for your Nile. You have a God for frogs, this or that. Guess what? Our God commands. His strength is over those things as well. What does that say about your God? Then the penultimate example of the strength of the Lord, Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead, his conquering the grave, his procuring salvation for all who call on his name, that is surely the strength of the Lord being shown. A showing of his strength promised way back in Genesis. He takes his heel and he crushes the serpent's head. It is when we seek the Lord's strength, such seeking reminds us of these things. And such seeking develops in us a heart of rejoicing. How can we keep from singing the praises of the Almighty God as we consider all the works our Almighty God does? And this is where our love for independence comes into play. That focus our own strength rather than seeking after the Lord and his strength. And how that pursuit of seeking after things, I'm independent. 1776, we'll rise again. I'm going for it. Okay? Instead of telling others to seek themselves and seek their own inner strength. Boldly point people to God. Amen? Be examples of people that give God all the glory. And give him thanks for being used for his mighty purposes. You know, to give you like a personal example that's not in what I've written down, so get ready for this. People come and tell me that the sermon was great today. And I have a hard time, because I can't handle compliments, okay? I have a hard time in knowing what to do if it's not just the same answer, like, give God all the glory. Thank you. Give thanks to God. Praise be to God that it was beneficial. Try to remove myself from it. Okay, back to where I'm getting at. Okay. Be examples of people that give God all the glory and give him thanks for being used for his mighty purposes. Sometimes we get to see the outpourings of his strength. Like, I get to see people go, hey, that was a blessed sermon. I get a front row seat and going, thank you. Thank you for giving me a front row seat, Lord. Other times, it might take years till you see it. I'm talking about if you've ever, you know, we have camp coming up in a few months, and the counselors that take kids and devote a whole week of their life for that, there's sometimes you get the immediate effect, like, thank you for doing that. But sometimes it takes 20, 30 years when you see him again, like, oh, that week at camp was phenomenal. It was a blessing. I think oftentimes you might never fully see the fruit till Christ returns. And we have to put that there in case we go, well, I need to see the fruit sometime. Like, yeah, well, you'll see it when Christ comes. Can it be sooner? No, well, we're not in control. In our seeking the Lord's strength, recognize that more and more you will realize that it is not by our strength, but by the Lord's strength, his will be done. Pray to the Lord to give you strength. Go to the Lord and ask him to give you the strength to weather the storms of life. Seek after the Lord when loved ones die all around you. Seek to the Lord when your life was going one way and then it goes the opposite. In either situation, you do not have the words to say, seek the Lord. Who goes, you might not have the words to say, but I know what you're saying. And you know what? Seek the Lord and pray for him to give you the words. I have to do that every day of my life. And I hope that when we are living out our lives as Christians together, we're doing the same thing where, say, like for me, I'm about to enter into a conversation with a brother or a sister in Christ. I'm about to give pastoral care. You're going, I'm about to give some like some wisdom from a mature believer to a younger one or something of that like. But I'm thinking of instance like, Lord, I'm about to go talk to someone who has lost their child. If I go in there going, well, I can just recite this book here. I can just give some fortune cookie sayings. This is going to be bad. But we need to be in prayer. Like, Lord, I know what your word says. Help me communicate to them what it says in their time of need. That should be a prayer for all of us. When we have someone, a brother and sister in Christ, brother and sister, or just your neighbor who is ailing, who is hurt, who has conflict, struggles, go, Lord, give me the words to speak. I ask for help to show how seeking after the Lord and his strength is not just a phrase, but truly, we believe that we need to seek after the Lord and his strength in all things. Truly is something, it is something for us to pursue in all seasons of our lives. We are to seek his presence continually. It is not just a one and done, but it is a continual pursuit to seek the presence of the Lord. We like to go seek the Lord in the low times. Or we need a humbling moment, okay, now I'm going to seek the Lord. But we forget when things are going swell in our eyes. Like, this is great. Like, we have our finances in order. You know, we still need to seek the Lord when we have an abundance as well. How do we steward the funds well that you've given us? May we seek the Lord on the highs and the lows. It is to be the Christian's desire to live with this in mind. Seek out where the presence of the Lord is. Now, God is, of course, omnipresent, which means he's everywhere. But when we talk about seeking his presence, we seek where he says he will be present. The Lord is present with his people. Therefore, in our seeking out of his presence, we cannot help but understand that means that we need to be with the people of God. God is with us as we turn away from sin and turn to Christ. So as we seek the Lord's presence, that will, of course, lead us to Christ. And as we seek the Lord's presence, that means we are turning away from old Adam things. The Bible also tells us about the felt withdrawal of the presence of the Lord. David asks the question in Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Even though he feels the Lord has forsaken him, through the words of his groaning is one who is in search, is such a dark state, but he's still seeking the Lord. He's going, Lord, where are you? He's seeking. That's a question of someone seeking. Where are you? Give me a GPS location. None of us look at such moments with joy. None of us desire such times when we feel like the Father's face has turned away from us. From our made alive hearts, through he who truly felt the Father turn his face from him, out of a deep, deep love of God for us, we desire to seek the Lord. When we find ourselves in a spot where we are convicted with the reality that God's presence is not in this, He is not for it. His strength is not for it. It will be actually against you. That's humbling. Being humbled before him. It is true that we do struggle with seeking out the things the Lord wants us to seek out, which is him. We become aimless and seek after what the flesh wants, what we selfishly want. We put the Lord below our desires, and that is a recipe for disaster. It sucks out true rejoicing. It puts a time stamp on our joy, and that ends when we don't have it anymore. Yet when our rejoicing is set on the Lord, we will seek and we will find new reasons all the time to renew our thankfulness and praise the Lord for it. The deeper we seek, the more detail is given to how worthy of praise the Lord God truly is. Amen. We move on to consider that in the next verse, not only are we called to seek, but we are called to do what? Remember as well. Remembering serves a valuable role in human life. We talked about, I use that as a kind of an illustration in the beginning. Much of our education is based on remembering things. I could say as a history teacher, there are teachers that do that well and teachers that don't do that so well when it's just all memorization of dates and times. My dad likes that, I think. But much of our education is based on remembering things. Tomorrow, we will be celebrating, or I guess this whole weekend, it seems to have spread out like that, right? To remember those who died while serving in the armed forces. Does everyone know that's what Memorial Day is for? Ingrained into our national holidays is memory. Remember this on this day. Memories are a big deal. For the Christian, it is important for us to include in our memory, in our remembering, the wonderful works of God. The psalmist goes into detail describing works of God to remember. It's like he is saying, here is a list of things God has done for us. Don't forget them. Remember them. Remember what he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he uttered. And why does the psalmist tell us to do such things? Well, remembering reminds us of who God is. You remember what God did for Abraham, and you once again are reminded of God's covenant faithfulness. You remember that God heard the cries of his people in Egypt, and you are reminded that he is not a distant God who does not care. Our Bible is a rich record of the wondrous works, miracles, and judgments of God. If we seek to be people that remember such things, we need to seek to be people of the Word. Such people make it a priority to get well acquainted with their Bibles. You mean to tell me this contains a record of the wonderful works of God? I would love to know more about it. Let's open it up. They study it and have their minds filled with it. And at the center of Scripture is the most marvelous work of all, the gospel truth that Christians have benefited greatly from. The Lord's works by way of salvation found in Christ being freely given to us, for he paid the price on our behalf. And what comes forth from that is that our minds are renewed and we start to grow in our desire to pursue truth, meditate on God's word both day and night. Our desire to seek the Lord and his strength grows. We seek to glorify God in our faith and practice. Our desire to seek that grows. We build up our knowledge to then draw from throughout our lives. And then that knowledge convicts the Christian, which then pushes us towards a gratitude that pursues that which pleases the Lord. When we store such memories of who God is, it prepares us for the fight to come. The fight in our lives with indwelling sin. And we remember also as an act of worship. Think about all the different elements that are in the Sunday service and ask yourself, how much of it is about God, who He is, and how much at the center of the Lord's Day service is the remembrance of who the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, truly is, what He has done. Each Sunday that you gather, the church service is to have contained within it reminders of who Jesus Christ is and the salvation found through Him. We do that because we need reminders. We need reminders, do we not? The week could have done a number to you to where you don't remember anything. You don't know which way is up. You don't know which way is down. You need to remember that the Son of God became sin for all who truly believe that He is Lord and our Savior. And because that is true, everything at the end is going to be okay. You have been struggling with a particular sin your entire life. The repentant sinner needs to remember wondrous news that Christ died for all of his sins. You go, but I'm a Christian and I still struggle with these sins, this indwelling sin. You need to hear the news. You need to remember what Christ has done. Do you fully remember what Christ has done? The wondrous works of the Lord. We all need gospel reminders. We all need them. And may it never grow stale in our hearts hearing such good news about Christ. Today we partake of the Lord's Supper. And I think it is only right to end with this reminder of what we are told to do. Deacon Mays often quotes the text. I also repeat it. And there's a line in the text that we say in the Bible verses, do this in what? Remembrance of me. That couldn't have any bearing with the text today, could it? Of course it does. Of course it does. In our partaking of the Lord's Supper, one of the things that happens is that we remember the sacrificial death of the God-man on our behalf. The bread being His body broken and the cup being His blood shed, the atoning sacrifice for God's people, a memorial, a remembrance of what Christ has done for us. This is truly a wondrous work that we are precious benefactors of. And it is what all the wondrous works listed in Psalm 105 leads up to. This is the pinnacle. This is why I want us to prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper. That's why we take the time to, okay, there's no music, everything's quiet. Sit and consider what Christ has done. Remember that the bread and cup are reminders of the Lord's strength, that you're not resting on your own strength. You're resting on the strength of the Lord to take away the sting and victory of death. Remember that it is well for the Christian. Such truth set to memory pushes us to give thanks to the Lord, and it ought to push us to make God's deeds known among the peoples. If you do not believe and you are hearing about Christians seeking after things, you're curious about why are Christians so adamant about this? You want to know more about the wondrous works, about the miracles, about the judgment God has declared. Come see a deacon. Come see myself. Come see a mature believer to help with your pursuit. It is a tremendous blessing, I think, to see people take beginning steps in seeking the Lord. Not all of us get to see that, Some of us have the distinct pleasure of being, like, we have a knack for evangelism, to see people beginning the baby steps in their walk with the Lord. And it is a tremendous hope of mine that they will join us in singing songs of rejoicing to the Lord, who is present with his people and cares for them. In short, remember Christ. Seek Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we prepare ourselves for the Lord's Supper, let's do so truly in remembrance. Let's not empty our minds of all things, but let us fill our minds remembering Christ and Him crucified. Let us seek that this time be a moment where the world around us is silent and our heart is transfixed upon Christ. May we do so in a way that glorifies you, O God, and in Christ's name we say, amen.